can't screw up if you're an Israelite. I mean, you can't screw up. It's not that you can't screw up, it's that you can't screw up. Did you get the difference there? Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. Did you get the difference there? If you screw up, you're in trouble. I mean, you can screw up. There's 100 ways to screw up if you're an Israelite, and we're going to see that in the book of Hebrews. So you can screw up, but you can't screw up in that if you do, you are out of the kingdom. Did I say this was Martin Zenner? Yes, I did. Welcome to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to move along here in Hebrews. Now, listen to this. Chapter 2. This is why, if you're reading the book of Hebrews, and if you're applying this to yourself, you are not going to have peace of mind. This is why, folks, it's so important to read the parts of the Bible that belong to you. Now, I'm not saying you can't read other parts of the Bible, but you have to read them with intelligence. You have to read other parts of the Bible and understand that they're for you, but not to you. You learn about God's chosen people. You learn about God's ways, how He does things, some of His principles. But when you want to know what applies to you, you have to read Paul's letters. There are several places in Hebrews that have really taken away people's peace because they apply this to themselves. And Hebrews chapter 2 is one of these places. This is classic, really, classic Israelite stuff. And this study in Hebrews, if it does nothing else, it's going to train you and teach you that you cannot go to scriptures that don't belong to you and find peace. If you go to other parts of scripture that do belong to you and you consider these parts of scriptures as well, Hebrews, you're going to see a conflict. You're going to see a conflict between Hebrews and Romans. You're going to see a conflict between Hebrews and Ephesians, although it's very, very subtle conflict. When we get to chapter 3, talk about the celestial calling. Hebrews, the writer here, Paul, is talking about a celestial calling. It's celestial in nature. Paul, on the other hand, when he writes Ephesians, talks about a calling among the celestials. Very subtle difference. You have to pay attention. I'm happy to help you do that. Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we, who? The Hebrews. This is the book to the Hebrews. We must more exceedingly be heeding what is heard. You have to absolutely listen and pay attention to hear and to heed. Those are the English elements of the Hebrew, of the Greek word translated obey in the Concordant version. You must exceedingly be heeding what is being heard, lest at some time we may be drifting by. Did you hear that language there? It's called not being sure of your salvation, because ladies and gentlemen, the Israelites are on probation because they're under the jurisdiction of law, and law can only offer forgiveness. Forgiveness is conditional. If you keep meeting the requirements, you're forgiven. But if you screw up, then a pardon or a forgiveness can be revoked, can be retracted. That does not belong to our evangel. We are justified by faith. And justification means you're made righteous. This is only found in Paul's gospel. Now, Paul says that this is apart from law. No one can be justified in law, but justification can only come apart from law. However, in Hebrews here, we're still looking at law, because you'll find the word priesthood over and over and over again in this book. Priesthood has to do with those who are go-betweens between God and humanity, and has to do with the administration of law. It's a better covenant. What does the covenant have to do with? You'll find that phrase in here. We're going to get to it. Better covenant. Covenant has to do with an agreement, a promise God made. Has to do with the law, right? The old covenant was, you do your part, I'll do mine. They broke it. Israel broke it. Couldn't do their part. New covenant is God will put His law on their hearts. His law on their hearts. So we're still in the realm of law in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, since justification comes apart from law, and since we're in law in Hebrews, we are not talking about justification. Again, justification, don't get thrown off by that theological term. You got the root word there, just, which means right. You're right. God looks at you and says, you're right. You're done. You're complete. You're finished. You're right. You are conformed to my standard through my son. Not so in Hebrews. And it must have been tough for Paul, who I believe wrote this book, although we don't know for sure because there's no stated authorship here. And I claim, I forward the thought that Paul's name would have killed this letter because people hated him, especially the Jews. And yet no one knew more about the Jewish call than Paul. And so he's warning them here. You must be heeding what is being heard, what I'm telling you, and what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have told you, the four accounts. You must be heeding this or you'll be drifting by. In other words, the call will pass you by. Same in the book of Revelation. He who overcomes will eat of the tree of life. If you don't overcome, you won't eat of the tree of life. You have to have a t-shirt that says Overcomer. You have to have been there, done that, and got your t-shirt, because if you don't endure, you won't be saved. He who endures to the end will be saved. We'll be getting this in when we get to the book of Revelation. And I'm going to contrast constantly through these circumcision books this message with our message. Our message is you can't screw it up. Their message is you can damn well screw it up, and you better be careful. I'm going to go to the 10 virgins in a second here. For if the word, I'm in verse 2 now, 2-2, for if the word spoken through messengers came to be confirmed, and every transgression and disobedience obtained a fair reward, it's tit for tat here. If you screwed up, there's a penalty. How shall we be escaping when neglecting a salvation of such proportions, which obtaining a beginning through the speaking of the Lord was confirmed to us by those who hear him, i.e. the disciples, the apostles, God corroborating both by signs and miracles and by various powerful deeds and parting of the Holy Spirit according to his will. So Israel, very much a calling of signs and miracles, very much a physical calling. This goes along perfectly, doesn't it? Signs and miracles, physical, with doing stuff, with producing fruit worthy of repentance. The opposite of that is neglecting the salvation. Now, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Listen to this. This will corroborate what we just read in Hebrews chapter 2. Then likened shall be the kingdom of the heavens to 10 virgins who, getting their torches, come out to meet the bridegroom. Remember, Israel's always compared to a bride. We are not the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Much closer relationship. I used to think in the old days, man, how close can you get to God? To be a bride standing right next to Jesus Christ, right next to him. Then I found out I'm the body of Christ. I'm not right next to him. I am him. Profound difference there. So they get their torches, come out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were stupid. I love how stupid is a scriptural word. You know that. And five were prudent. Verse 3, for the stupid getting their torches got no oil with them. Oil is significant. It's typical of the Spirit. They had no spirit. They had not the Spirit of God. It was all form, all show, form of devoutness, denying the power. No oil. For our torches are going out. Now, you can't, if you're an Israelite, you can't just run strong at the beginning of the race and fade at the end. You have to have enough oil to be able to meet the bridegroom when he comes. You can't slack off. You have to endure to the end. He or she who endures to the end shall be saved. And again, this is not eternal salvation. Everybody has that. Duh. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. This is aeonian salvation. And specifically for the Israelites here, it is salvation for the 1,000-year kingdom. If you really want to understand the circumcision gospel, if you want to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and Hebrews, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you need to understand that Jesus came proclaiming a 1,000-year kingdom. So all those threats of Gehenna and casting your eye out from you and cutting your hand off, it all has to do with who is going to make it into this 1,000-year kingdom. We're not talking about eternity here. So five of the virgins were stupid, and yet five of the virgins were prudent, and the prudent ones got oil in the crocks with their torches. No sense having a torch if you don't have any fuel. The fuel here typically is the Spirit of God. And I know only God can impart that. I know that. That's the absolute viewpoint. Relatively here, we're looking for worthy people in Israel to meet him. Now, at the delaying of the bridegroom, they all nod and drowse. This is the trial of time. Even we in the body of Christ suffer from this, but I'm going to give you good news concerning that before this show ends. But Israel, see, because he tarries, because the kingdom is put on hold, and this is why Hebrews is written, that many of them, their love waxed cold, and they forgot about him. At the delaying of the bridegroom, they all nod and drowsed. And it was important for them not to do that, but they did it. Now, in the middle of the night, a clamor occurs. Verse 6, lo, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Because remember, to Israel, he's coming as a thief in the night. Then roused were all the virgins, and they adorned their torches. Now the stupid said to the prudent, give us of your oil, for our torches are going out. Yet the prudent answered, saying, no, lest at some time there should not be sufficient for us and you. Now these five virgins were not ridiculed. They were not condemned. But it came to that you provide your own oil. You're not going to give your oil to somebody else. Everybody answers for himself here in the kingdom of God for Israel. This is their calling, distinct from the body of Christ. Going to show you a really cool picture how it's distinct. The prudent said, no, lest the sometime we're not going to have enough. Go rather to those who are selling and buy oil for yourselves. Now, at their coming away to buy, they went away to buy oil. While they were gone, however, the bridegroom came, and those who are ready, keyword, Matthew 25:10, those who are ready entered with him into the wedding festivities, and the door is locked. Now, subsequently, the rest of the virgins also are coming. They finally got their oil, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Yet he, answering, said, verily, I'm saying to you, I am not acquainted with you. Ouch. That smarts. Jesus says then in verse 13, the parable's over, watch then, for you're not aware of the day, neither the hour. That is tough. Ouch. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Contrast this with our evangel. And I'm going to close with this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. God did not appoint us to indignation. We cannot suffer disappointment because the gospel of the uncircumcision is totally of grace. You can't screw it up. You can't be found lacking. Because this is all Christ, it's all God, and it's presented that way from the get-go. With Israel, it's presented as, you do this, I'll do that. It's conditional. It's contingent upon obedience. Our evangel, no. It's contingent upon him and him alone. God did not appoint us to indignation or disappointment, but to the procuring of salvation. How? By being worthy, by waiting, by watching? No, the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole evangel in a nutshell, that Jesus Christ has saved us. He procured it 100%. There's nothing left for you to do, not even to believe, because even that is a gift of God. And if you're chosen beforehand, he will give you that gift and you will believe. Who died for our sakes. That, listen to this, verse 10, whether we may be watching or drowsing, we should be living at the same time together with him. You hear that? Whether we may be watching or drowsing. The five virgins who were stupid in Matthew 25, they were drowsing. They didn't realize he was coming. They saw him. Suddenly they're in a panic. They go to get their oil. By the time they get back, the deal is done. It's sealed. And he says, I did not know you. That will strike terror into the heart of someone reading Matthew and saying, my God, this is my call. Or it'll strike terror into your heart if you're reading Hebrews chapter 2 and you realize that, man, this is going to pass me by if I'm not paying attention. Not so with our evangel. We will be living at the same time together with him, whether we're watching or drowsing. Verse 11, wherefore, console one another and edify one another according as you are doing also. I am consoling you and edifying you. I mean, my God, of course I want you to be ready. Of course I want you to be paying attention. I want you to be listening to these shows and learning and reading your scriptures, reading Paul, thinking about this day in and day out. I want that for you. That's what I do. I have to do it. I can't do anything but that. But I want you to know and be consoled by the fact that if you're drowsing, if you're off in the world, if you're doing something else and you're not paying attention, nevertheless, because of your belief in him that he gave you, you are saved because faith, it's faith alone, not works, not looking good for him, not having oil. It's just simply believing that Jesus Christ did this for you before you were even born. You have been procured beforehand by Jesus Christ. and that's been confirmed to you through the Word. Not the Word of Hebrews, not the Word of Matthew 25, but through the Word of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Whether we're watching or drowsing, we will be living at the same time together with Him. And I'm consoling you today and myself with this Word.